Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, and we will begin in verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10 says, "And his disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and who he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, because they seeing see not, and hearing hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. In seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." The verse 10 begins with words in black, meaning that they were not the words of Jesus, but rather the words of the disciples asking Jesus the question, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" In effect, what the disciples are doing, they're essentially inquiring as to why he even bothers telling them these parables without explaining them to them. And then Jesus gives a twofold answer. I will read verse 11 again. He says, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And so that answer really is twofold. He's basically saying the parables are to reveal meaning to you, though you who belong to me, the you disciples, and anybody who's put their faith in me. The other side of that is the parables are given to conceal any kind of meaning from those who don't know me, those who have not put their faith in me. And he tells them that one of the gifts, essentially that saying, one of the gifts of salvation, something that comes with knowing me, he's saying, is to be able to understand about the kingdom of God. Otherwise, those things are mysteries, and that's exactly what the word that he uses here in verse 11. Now, the term mystery is not what you and I might normally think. It has nothing to do with top secret information that can't be found out, or something that could only be unlocked by a select few smart people or whatever. But rather, it is simply, by using the term mysteries, it's simply speaking of something that was previously hidden or unknown, something that that has now been laid open or revealed, but had for some time not been, okay? And so much of God's redemptive plan was not understood in the Old Testament, okay? But upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, those things began to be revealed. Those things began to be opened up through the New Testament, New Covenant, if you will, came explanations to divine truths that were in the past unknown. There's just so much that the Old Testament, even the prophets and strong believers, didn't clearly understand about the coming Messiah and his kingdom that would follow. Okay, they were unknown is the only word I can come up with, or not understood, if you will. Okay, so these mysteries all have to do, as Jesus speaks of there in verse 11, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. And other places in Scripture we'll find it not only talks about the kingdom of heaven, but it also refers to the kingdom of God. And you have to understand that kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God are essentially one and the same in the Scripture. One term emphasizes the king himself, okay, kingdom of God. And the other term just simply emphasizes the sphere of his reign, or his kingdom, if you will. The Old Testament scriptures were very limited in their information about this kingdom that we're talking about. He says that he's revealing to us those mysteries. The Old Testament just kind of had a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. Most of the messianic prophecies that you read in the Old Testament were more than not references to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of his earthly kingdom, which would last 1,000 years, we also know as the millennial kingdom, okay? Most of the scriptures, messianic scriptures, were looking for that time. But there are only hints in the Old Testament about the kingdom being as it is right now. Because see, we're in the kingdom of heaven. We're in the kingdom of God right now as believers, okay? We're not waiting for the millennial kingdom before the kingdom starts, okay? The kingdoms already exist, and we as Christians today are very much a part of it. It's the kingdom in the sense that Jesus rules and he reigns in our hearts. It's an invisible spiritual kingdom, okay? Where you and I are in a economy, if you will, of God. That we function and do things that people that don't belong to that kingdom don't understand and won't understand unless they become a part of that kingdom, okay? But the Old Testament didn't have a clear understanding of that being the case. And so let's go to verse 12 because it kind of expands upon this truth. Verse 12, it says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." Okay? So what's being said here is the two groups is being noted here. The whosoever hath group is referring to those who have believed in the Messiah and therefore belong to his kingdom. Okay? The whosoever hath not is referring to the other group, which would be lost people, referring to unbelievers, those that are not a part of the kingdom of God. They're outsiders when it comes to the kingdom of God. The first group, just to understand what verse 12 is saying, the first group, which includes you and I, has seen the light, if you will. We saw that Jesus was the Savior. We saw that he was the King of Kings. And we responded to that light and were gloriously saved, right? So that makes us a part of the kingdom. But because we responded to that light, more light is given to you and I along the way. Through the scriptures, okay? As we go forward and we walk and we function in God's economy, his kingdom, by faith, we continue to get more light. We saw the light by faith and we're saved. And then as we move forward and carry that light, more light is given to us. And that's why he says, to who hath, it shall be given more in abundance, okay? On the other hand, the second group are the opposite. The light was with them, okay? He was teaching, he was preaching, he was giving signs and wonders, he was performing miracles, all of this giving evidence of his being the Messiah, but they didn't recognize him. They didn't see the light. They didn't accept him, okay? And so because they were not willing to receive that light is being taken away from them, you see. The light was shown them as Jesus walked upon this earth. It was revealed to them right there in flesh and blood, but they refused, the Jews refused it, and so it's been taken away, and so they drifted deeper and deeper into darkness, and the Jews still today, majority of, there are some Jews that have been saved, but the majority of the Jewish people today, which we love and we should pray for, but have been centuries of darkness when it comes to the Messiah. They're blinded to it, okay? And so the majority of the Jews that were hearing Jesus in that day were rejecting the light, and so the light was taken away from them. It's no different with the unbelievers of today, not necessarily Jewish, but unbelievers in general. We have been shown the light of the gospel, especially in America. Almost everybody has heard the gospel to some extent. But if a person chooses to reject that gospel, then the light is be removed. He won't continue to reveal himself to them. He won't continue to knock on the door of their heart after a certain point, and he'll remove it. And so the darkness gets deeper and deeper. Their eyes, their heart's been darkened. Their eyes have been blinded. Their ears have been dulled to the truths of God's word. And so it's taking away. People are in some sort of either progression spiritually or regression spiritually. We're not just static, if you will, and not moving. We're either moving forward with God or we're digressing with God, and that's just the nature of things. Responding to light brings more light to us. Okay, that's progression. But as Christians, even though the light is not taken away, if we're not responding to the light that we see, applying it to our lives, then our eyes will grow dim. We'll never be blind totally, okay? But our eyes will grow dim towards the light that God has more for us. You see, we're not taking the light we already see and applying it. Then it doesn't put us in a position for more light, okay? I don't know if I'm being totally clear on that, but we're not going to remain static and fixed. We're going to be moving in one direction or the other, okay? So with that, let's begin in verse 13 and look further. It says, "Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. And in them," now listen to this, this is quoting Isaiah, "in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Now that is a mouthful, believe me, okay? It is to me just to read, okay? But let's talk about it and hopefully bring some clarity. The prophecy is one that Isaiah spoke. It's found in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, okay? And it describes very well the Jews of Jesus' day, the ones, his audience, as he spoke these things, okay? When Isaiah spoke the words way back in the Old Testament, Judah was experiencing severe judgment from God. Isaiah had pronounced a series of curses upon the people of Judah for a number of indictments he brought against them: their drunkenness, their debauchery, their injustice, their immorality, their dishonesty, their hypocrisy. Isaiah had just laid it all before them, telling them, you are doing this and you won't repent, and so God is going to bring this judgment. At the same time, the scripture tells us that King Uzziah died. And so with his death and this pronounced judgment of Isaiah, the country or the nation, if you will, was being plunged in some of the deepest, darkest days that they would ever experience. They were under the threat of the captivity of Babylon. Things were going south in a hurry. And all of this was a result of God's judgment. This result of God's hand of correction, if you will, upon their lives. But yet they still refused to hear God's word, to see God's hand of judgment. In other words, their ears grew dull and their eyes grew dim in spite of the warning of God's man, in spite of him pointing to the sins and saying, you need to repent. They still were blind and deaf to those things, okay, which essentially locked the door of their heart, keeping them from being converted, it says here, and healed, essentially changing their mind, repenting, and turning to God and allowing him to heal their nation. They refused to, okay? They were, as Jesus explains, it's very much the same as the Jews of Jesus' day were doing. They had Jesus right there saying the kingdom of God is at hand. They had his miracles. They had the light of in all different ways. His teaching, his preaching, his love, his kindness, all of the evidence, the light was just brilliantly shining before them, and then yet they closed their eyes and their ears to it. And the result of that was going to be what we are still seeing today. The Jews rejected the Messiah, and there's been a penalty to pay for all of these centuries. One day they will be redeemed, but that's going to be after the coming of Christ Jesus, the second coming. But they have walked in deep darkness for century after century because of the fact that they rejected the Messiah when he was right before them. Now, let's read verse 16 and 17. And we'll bring it in for a landing. It says, blessed are your eyes. He's talking to the disciples, talking to you and I today, if we are disciples and believers in him. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now watch this. This is awesome. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. What's he saying? The disciples, Jesus was speaking directly to them and to us today, okay? And he's saying, you're able to know and understand such deep things from God's word, things that godly men and women from the past, even prophets, were not able to understand. In other words, there's two reasons why we get that, why the disciples got it, and why we get that kind of revelation today. It's one is the New Testament's given to us. Two, the Holy Spirit taking up residence and indwelling us, giving it to us. So that gives us an opportunity. We are able to see mysteries, if you will, things that were once unknown, to all the prophets and everybody else. Those mysteries have been opened up for you and I to understand through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit enabling us to understand it, okay? Later on in this chapter, Jesus is going to ask the disciples this question. He's going to say specifically, do you understand these things? And they're going to say yes. And the reason they're able to say that yes is because of that enlightenment, if you will. They responded to the light, more light is given. If Jesus were to have asked the religious Jews the very same question, do you understand these things? They would have had to have said, no, we don't. Okay? What's the difference? Was the disciples, were they smarter than the scribes and the Pharisees? Were they smarter than all the rabbis and the religious Jews? No, the scribes and Pharisees were some of the most highly educated. They had been students of Scripture from a very young age, almost every one of them. But their ears were dull and their eyes were dim because of their rejection of the light. The disciples were not any smarter, any better educated, any more informed. They heard much of the same teaching that the scribes and Pharisees were hearing from Jesus. The difference was their eyes been opened spiritually and their ears had been opened spiritually. And the result of that was their ability to grasp those things that Jesus was saying and understand them. And you and I are no different today. Surrendered to the Lord and his word, we are given greater wisdom and greater understanding than the most educated unbelievers of this world. I'm as smart as a Harvard guy when it comes to spiritual things, and so maybe you are. And even smarter than South Plains and Texas Tech and all the local schools here. I'm smarter than all those people in the sense of, and I don't say that boastingly, you are as well. In the sense of we have an understanding, a spiritual understanding and wisdom imparted to us, not doesn't mean we're smart on our own, but imparted to us by God that the lost people don't have, okay? So there you go. Quit school. We got it all right here. All right. Thank you guys so much. I've really mumbled through so much of that, but it happens that way sometimes. By the way, I got new glasses and I still can't hear. What's going on with that? Okay, let's stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Oh, appreciate you guys very much. All right. Mike Hoff.